conversations about race, gender, and other social issues sparking heated debates at school board meetings all across the country.
We're witnessing the newest evolution of the culture wars.
I think Trump just stands in a very long line of culture warriors.
The commander-in-chief of the culture war.
Keep culture wars out of classrooms.
What candidates think most potential Republican voters want to hear? Culture war posturing.
He's fighting a culture war.
Why has the GOP picked schools as the battleground to fight these culture war issues?
Culture wars are the things that unite a lot of Republicans.
Kinda curious, why were you willing to talk to him and not to me? Because you thought they were trying to tear these signs down?
Yeah! They came up with a new one. This is a new one. And they're looking at me through the Espionage Act. Think of that. How does that sound? Of 1917, where the penalty is death.
Democrats want to take away all your guns because they hate the Constitution.
All of these culture wars.
Culture wars.
Into the culture wars.
We think this is another culture war.
These cultural wars, it's on bringing the culture war to the library.
The ongoing culture war that's taking place in our classrooms across the country. Things like LGBTQ issues, critical race theory, teaching American history, all kinds of things dominating our politics right now, landing also in the classroom and causing some conflict and controversy there.
And hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Will Johnson, and this is The Culture Wars. What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in. It is November 26, 2024, and we're just one day from Thanksgiving. One day. It's going to be an awesome thing. It's going to be awesome. Believe me, I tell you, it's going to be awesome. I wish I could talk like Trump. You know, Sean does a very good job. Excellent job, actually. I'm a little jealous that I can't do it. Believe me. Believe me. Anyways, I got my bobblehead Trump here to pick up where I leave off. So, but anyways, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. If you would, could you please bless me by hitting the thumbs up? Greatly appreciate it. Even if you're watching this on the replay, you will still bless me by hitting the thumbs up. It really means a lot. It helps out with the algorithms, because the algorithms here on Rumble actually work, and they also work on X. We're live on X as well for all of you that are watching. So hit the hearts on X and share the video, no matter how you are watching this. Share the video. Please share the video. Let's get into it. DEI. You know, a lot of the Democrats and liberals, they all associate DEI with being black. Think about it. When people found out that I was working on LFA, I had some liberals, black liberals and white liberals, said the only reason why, Will Johnson, the only reason why you're on LFA is because of DEI. I'm like, really? It has nothing to do with me being dedicated to the movement. It has nothing to do with me reporting on the news, nothing to do with me being able to set up the lights, set up the studio. How does DEI come into place with all of that? Now, anybody basically can pick up a cell phone and turn the camera on and start recording something. If it looked like that, then I would agree. Maybe it has something to do with DEI. But no, I've been doing this for many years now. Am I perfect at it? Absolutely not. Am I working at it? I surely am. I work to be better every single day. Now, the reason why DEI was put in place in the begin with, because they want to bring in this whole wokeism, because they love Democrats. Democrats love to introduce LGBT community. They love to introduce all of the everything that you can think of that's woke under the sun. The Democrats use it. And to my understanding, it was a program that all of these big tech companies, along with the big box stores, they were all implemented DEI because they wanted a good credit score. The DEI program was to tell all of these companies, you introduce all of this LGBT, all of the wokeism, or you're going to have a bad credit score with their DEI program. And it was a countrywide, actually, it was a nationwide, a worldwide program. But after they started introducing DEI, what started happening? Companies like Bud Light started losing billions of dollars. And then you have Harley Davidson losing money, Walmart losing money, Target losing money, John Deere, all places. I mean, who buys John Deere? DEI started making them lose money. Tractor started losing money. All of these companies implementing DEI, every last one of them, not a single one started benefiting from DEI. Not a single one of them. They all started losing money into the billions of dollars. I guess altogether into the trillions of dollars, if you think about it. But they kept pushing it. And they were hoping that with President Trump losing the 2024 election, but thank God he didn't. But they had it in their minds that President Trump would lose the 2024 election, then MAGA would die. And see, if MAGA dies, then they can push all of this wokeism and say, yes, wokeism, communism won the election. But thank God we get to say it lost. DEI, along with the Democrat Party, is on the up and out. You know, they were going up and now they're on their way out. Rightfully so. Because parents going to the store, they don't want their children bombarded with homosexuality as soon as they walk in the door, a.k.a. Target. They didn't want it. I'm like, what in the world is this? And they're only they were targeting children for their sexual perversion. It's the same thing happening in schools. You know, they're pushing this DEI crap into schools because they want children to be sexualized. We all see it happening. It's happening across the board. It shouldn't be happening, but yet it is happening. But with that said, it's like all going on a decline. It's all starting to go down. They're all starting to lose their mind about it. Let me play this first video that I have for you. And this one's, of course, of Jasmine Crockett. Nasty. And she is a racist female. The only way she want anybody white to be around her or do anything with her, if they comply to her blackness, say that they're racist, saying that they have white privilege, which I'm still trying to figure that one out. How many of you are white to have white privilege? I mean, seriously, how many of y'all are white to have white privilege? I got a white privilege card somewhere. I keep it in my wallet. I don't have my wallet here. But I do keep a white privilege card for those of you that's wondering. And every now and then when I go into Costco, I can't do it anymore because now you have to scan your Costco card. But I used to walk into Costco and I would show my white privilege card. And what do you think they would say? What do you think they say, Shannon, when I walk into Costco holding my white privilege card?
What's that?
What's that?
They're probably saying, what card is that?
They would go, okay, thank you.
Did they really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. I used to show my white privilege card going into Costco and they would look. And they say, oh, thank you. And I just keep walking in. They didn't say anything.
Only you.
They didn't say anything. I'm like, well, hey, this is my white privilege card. You can't tell me I can't come in here. But anyways, listen to Jasmine Crockett. Nasty black woman. Do y'all have a problem with me calling her a nasty black woman? Let me know in the comment.
Or whatever it is that they want to say. They are trying to dismantle our civil rights in front of us. And it's really, really sad. And so I am hoping that we will be united, not only in the House, but in the Senate. And it would be nice if we could find the backbone of some Republican to stand with us, hopefully one that is of color. And the final point that I'll make is that the biggest beneficiaries of DEI as well as affirmative action have been white women.
Oh, so DEI has benefited white women. Have y'all ever heard of that before? See, DEI was putting an airplane pilot in the cockpit that was a man, preferably one is of color, what they say, a black person, POC, right? And no experience flying the plane, but he had on a dress. That's the type of DEI that the Democrats are pushing for. Another candidate, DEI, and I'm so thankful that we're not hearing from her any longer, and that's Cackles. Cackles was a DEI hire. See, this is part of the reason why DEI got crushed, because DEI lost this election. DEI died November 5th, pretty much. It's dying. It's on the respirator right now. And we need to go ahead and just unplug it. We need to pull the plug on the DEI. Are you with me? Are you with me on pulling the plug on the DEI? Hopefully racism will go with it. I mean, I just want to pull the plug on. If you're white, be happy. Be proud that you're white. I have no issues that you're white. What I do have issues with when you have these liberals talking about, oh, white privilege and, you know, white people just so bad. I have a huge problem with that. It's the most disgusting thing ever. Okay, let me finish playing the rest of this clip with this nasty woman.
So at least maybe one white woman can stand with us Democrats and make sure that we stop this harmful and divisive rhetoric that we see happening that they are now trying to turn into actual bills.
I mean, really? You see this? So now they're trying to turn into actual bills. No, we don't need, there's no place for DEI in the country, in schools, on an airplane, in the cockpit. There's no place for it. Absolutely no place for DEI. And I'm glad it died. I'm glad it's dying. Because it did not benefit anybody. Actually, DEI was more divisive than anything. Diversity, inclusive. Really. Make it make sense. Well, one thing I want to talk about, too, is that when President Trump won this election, it changed everything. It really did. Because most people were looking at their bank accounts. Most people were understanding that the United States of America was on the decline. And a lot of people were really on the edge, like, what should I do? How should I secure my financial future? Everyone was doing it. I know I was doing it. You know, I was still doing it. But now that President Trump has won the election, and now that people are actually starting to, you know, feel a little bit more free, we still need to be a little cautious because, you know, of course, the Democrats are going to do everything they can to disrupt President Trump from going into office. They're still trying. But my question is, once President Trump goes into office January 20th, what does the economy look like? Because we're already starting to see positive things happening in the economy right now. We're starting to see it. People are happier. Now, we don't want that happiness to go away. What I think we need to do right now, I think we should take advantage of the current situation because I truly believe that when President Trump gets back in office come January, I believe that the stock market is going to soar. I mean, I'm already seeing reports right now where the stock market is going through the roof. Have y'all seen the reports about Bitcoin? As soon as President Trump, that night, November 5th, going to November 6th, that night, when President Trump won the election, there was reports of Bitcoin just exploding. And of course, you know what that's going to do for gold and silver. You know what that's going to do for gold and silver, right? It's going to explode. So remember, before the election, I was talking to this young man, Mr. Paul Stone. I was talking to Mr. Paul Stone about the election, Colonial Metals Group. Sir, right before the election, I was talking to you about what the possibilities of a President Trump win versus a Kamala Harris stealing of the election, because I never would admit that she would win anything. Thank God she didn't. But before that, many people were sitting on the edge other seat, like, what do I do? Should I make the investment? Should I do it? But now, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and this is part of the reason why I want to bring you on to have this discussion, because I believe right now people should take advantage of buying gold and silver more than any other time before, because when President Trump goes into office, the economy is going to start doing great. The economy is going to be booming. That's how I like to say it. And gold and silver, I believe it's going to go up. So right now, if people were to take advantage of it, of the current situation, I think it would benefit them in the long run. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, you know, I'm not a trained economist either. And forgive me for my camera. My whole rig went down just a little while ago. So we're going to plan B here. But know, I'm not a trained economist and I'm not a financial advisor and don't mean to give anyone any financial advice, just things to cause people to think. If a politician could have come to Washington and cut spending and made the dollar great again, they would have run on that platform 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. They would have run up. That would have been their platform. I'm saving the great American dollar. We're the government. I know how to cut the spending. It can't happen. The bills get bigger. So when we say the economy might be booming, the oil industry might be booming, Pennsylvania might be booming, there might be some hot spots. And this isn't to say anything negative against Trump. I voted for him. I was rooting for people to vote for common sense and at least get that back into the White House. But if he's carrying a magic wand no one else can carry, then God bless him and thank you for electing him to the place where he can work his magic. But you could send him and all of the government down to the beach and they can't stop a wave. They can't stop this force requiring more money to be printed every year.
Yes. You know what?
The stock market's going up. Say Bitcoin's going up, but groceries are still high. And most of the people in this country don't invest in things that are going higher. They're just struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You made a really good point because they said President Trump didn't have a magical wand, or Obama said that President Trump didn't have a magical wand back in 2016, saying that President Trump was not going to be able to bring the jobs back to the United States of America. He said the jobs are not coming. And you just made me think about it. And a lot of the government state media, a lot of the Democrats, they all completely forgot that he actually said that. And some of them never even saw that clip with Obama saying that, that Trump is not going to bring the job back. He doesn't have a magical wand. Well, apparently President Trump had a really big magical wand. But at the same time, with the stock market and everything starting to go up, I personally believe that this is the best time for us to take advantage of it. You know, because even just right now, even if we need to start getting some information, right?
Yeah, I would agree. It's a lot easier to make common sense decisions when we don't have a gun at our head or the dam is bursting and we're scurrying through the house to grab everything important to us before that wall of water wipes everything away forever. And human history, human financial history, government financial history throughout humanity only tells one story. It tells us the tale of woe, that a people made the country great, but a government's going to come and destroy that. And because there is no real checks and balances, there's no one standing behind the government other than Mother Nature's laws herself to eventually powerfully and forcibly correct things the stupid government shenanigans have been doing for 30, 40, 50 years,
yeah.
That's the ultimate checks and balance. But currently, while everything can continue to be ruined by the government, I'm going to get to one quick point. There is no one behind them saying, we're going to fire you if you print another dollar. Because the Congress, the people they actually work for, are back in the counties. They're back in the towns and the cities and the states. Like, let's use the example. You might be young enough to remember that this country went through a massive military base closure about 15, 20 years ago. And that's great. Let's cut the waste. We don't need the bases. The Cold War's over. Just don't cut the base in my state. Don't cut the base in my town. And so you have 500 House of Representatives coming to Washington representing their little part of America. And that little part of America doesn't want to see any financial cutbacks. It doesn't want to see any setbacks or hardships. So they're going to fight like hell. So to actually quit the money printing, as far as the government goes, you would have to get Congress to send the White House a bill that guts $2 trillion from its $7 trillion spend from Biden's last year, which means their people they represent go harshly without $2 trillion is a massive amount of money.
Yeah.
Massive amount of money.
Well, you know, that goes right along with Doge. Right, where they're
right, that's
cut.
What I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So Doge can be the smartest guys in the world and take an axe on paper, identifying where all the wasteful spending is, but getting Congress to actually send a bill to the White House that removes $2 trillion in spending is highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. Because why? Because career politicians want that to stay their career. That's where term limits would have been magical had our founders foreseen the need for those.
So to my understanding, there are some organizations that are not appointed by Congress. never put in place by Congress. And I think they will probably be able to cut those. But you're right. When it comes to some of these other larger organizations, some of these other ones that they're that pouring billions and billions of dollars into, it would be difficult because especially if we have people there like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they're going to make sure that that money keeps cycling right back to their pockets.
Well, yeah, there's that. But the real thing, the force of nature within the Congress, within the government's design is to create career politicians. They want that job once they get it and they don't want to lose it. So they can't actually take a machete to people's financial worlds back home where they are hailing from, some county in Arkansas or Mississippi or Tennessee or Idaho. They're not going to. So if they won't send a bill that the president will sign, the design of the government is to get the exact same money plus a little extra uplift than they got last year. So they'll get $7 trillion a year with a little uplift, 10% or so, every year Trump's in White House until he's gone, because they're not going to send a bill to the White House that guts $2 trillion a year from its budget. And even if they did, and this is another wake-up call for the people, that means your economy, which needs every drop of printed money to exist in the way today as it did yesterday, and if it goes without $2 trillion, which is 10 and probably more honestly 15, 17% of GDP, then you've got a shortfall for money that pours into the market and money that pours into real estate. And you've got scared money looking for places to hide in the economy, because just like a drug addict, you can't cut that guy back from four shots of heroin a day to three without him going into shock, without him going into a coma.
That's a really good way to describe.
This is a math story that doesn't give a damn what language you speak. The only language math recognizes is math.
Yeah.
And only good math can fix bad. And because of the power of bills getting bigger and bigger every year, the government has to meet those bills with printed money, which means it prints more money every year. And the minute everyone's really willing to go without, we can end the charade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ultimately, that happens when Mother Nature says your currency is worthless and everything goes hyperinflation and everything busts. And then no one's going to work tomorrow because you literally couldn't get paid enough money to buy a coffee. That's the ultimate stop, and that's global. The stupid governments of the world have created stolen $303 trillion from their country's financial future, robbing that future to have money in the moment.
Wow.
And this was all started by Nixon in 71. So they were able to start stealing money from the year 3000 and bring that into 1971. Eventually, these years meet, and you're stealing money from 2030 and bringing it into 2024 and 2025 and bringing it into 2025. And so, then you have a collision that no one can fix because no one can stop the bills from getting bigger and government's willingness to print to keep everything nice and looking good.
Wow. So does that go along with the, was it the World Economic Forum saying you will own nothing and be happy?
Yeah.
I mean, because I know they had a whole thing that what they, you know, the whole Build Back Better, they actually came up with that. And when Joe Biden was on his campaign for the 2020, he came out with Build Back Better. I went and looked it up, and on the website of the World Economic Forum, they had it on there. They've since removed it because I'm kicking myself because I didn't get a screenshot of it. But they were saying that they believe that the world economy should be torn down and build back better. And they believe that they want to build it back into a socialist economic capitalist system. I'm like, that's not going to work. You can't, socialism and capitalism, you know, oil and water, it doesn't mix. So with let me ask you this, with Doge coming into place and with them being able to cut some of the non-actual official government agencies where they've been pouring all this money into them, do you think that's going to help or give people the incentive to go ahead? And, you know, because I want to talk about why people should go to colonialmetalsgroup.com/LFA and, you know, get information about for what's to come. I mean, I don't think people should just buy gold and silver to prepare for disasters from in the future. I think it's for retirement, for, you know, being able to do extra things later on, you know, during retirement.
Yeah, it's a secure. So gold and silver position in one's portfolio in a way, is that secure financial property that you literally own, and you aren't renting space in some institution's database, and you aren't in things that need constant money printing to have the money to go higher. Like, sit back and ask yourself, how do corporate profits go from $750 billion for the year in 2010 to $3.5 trillion in 2024? How is our economy kicking ass so wonderfully? If the debt didn't go up at all since 2010, then you could say, damn, America is kicking ass. It is incredible what's going on here. What happened, though, is the money printing happened, and that extra money printing finds its way into sexy things like real estate and the financial world. So the financial world and real estate keep receiving more of this printed money, and they get more and more of it. And because everything in the financial world and real estate is in a way limited, the price of those things goes higher. It's not magic. It's evil. It's sick. So when you look at having some secure position in your portfolio that doesn't live off printed money, the only thing that has ever worked throughout humanity is gold and silver. It doesn't perish. It doesn't cause cancer. You literally own it. And you can turn it back to any form of money with a phone call, the same phone call you use to get into it. We having a technical difficulty?
No, here we go. I'm sorry. Rumor has it that President Trump, along with this Republican Congress, the House and the Senate, they actually just might make a change with when it comes to the Federal Reserve. Do you think that's even possible for them to go ahead and get it and bring it back the way it's supposed to be? Or do you think we have too many rhinos and too many of them that will bow down to the big banker system?
I love these questions. These are great questions, by the way. And that is a true sign of intelligence. Great questions are a sign of thinking and curiosity. And to me, the questions will always mean more than the answers because they come first. You'll get the great answers if you can come up with great questions. And the best questions come from an open mind. And so when you ask that question, you would say, so was it just willingness? That's why the alcoholic drank the way that he or she drank. They just weren't willing to do it differently. Or was there a power that made them do that? So if it's just willpower in the government, and finally Trump's and Elon Musk are there, and now the government can find the willpower to live correctly, great. But that's not mechanically how it works. Mechanically, they can say, please, they can embarrass, they can put pressure, please end these institutions. Great. So if you end the Federal Reserve, now that we're hooked to the money supply, then you literally just go without the watershed of money that allowed us to keep our jobs yesterday. If you kill the source of the money we're depending on to alleviate us of their oppressive force in making life so hard for most of the country, easy 60% of the country is not benefiting from the Federal Reserve's actions. Then you can you get rid of these things. You go right back to my oldest saying, which life on Earth will always be camping, except for the time we live in this financial video game of artificial reality. Money is not paper.
Yeah.
Money can never be paper. You can never make money happen on an Excel spreadsheet. That isn't money. You can call it money. It'll function as money for a while until it literally has no value anymore. And then we'll all find out just how evil that was, because we'll return to life on Earth being camping.
Yeah, I like that. Paul Stone, thank you so much. I wanted to have this a really quick interview with you, and quick, you know, discussion with you rather, about, you know, everything that's happening, because I wanted to talk to you after President Trump won the election.
Thank you.
I plan on bringing you back on again next month. We're going to have an even a longer discussion. I just really wanted to touch bases with you because I said I wanted to talk to you after election. So tell me really quick, what do you see other than us going to back to camping? What would be the biggest thing that people should do right now to get ready for whatever is to come?
Become a shepherd again. You know, some people might not like how this plays out when I say it, but I think it's true. I think that you could pretty much classify people who invest in two categories, sheep and shepherds, and both are great. We need our wool and we need our shepherds to keep sheep from walking off cliffs because they were just following the sheep in front of them. It's time to, the difference between the two is courage. That's the difference between a sheep and a shepherd. And it's time for everyone to return to being shepherds again. Party like it's 1999, that Donald Trump and his wild gang of change agents are coming to Washington. Let's see what they can do. Let's not miss, though, the mechanics and the hard stops that would keep them from just taking a literal machete to the government or to the IRS or to the Federal Reserve. Those are nice things, perhaps, for sure, for us that actually have to abide by the decisions they make here in the land. They're very oppressive. And we don't need that in our lives.
Yeah.
But take it away, and there will be financial pain and hardship that we should embrace and prepare for, because either man is going to manage us to the bust with some powerful skills and cutting and honesty that we are living way beyond our means and off the reservation, or Mother Nature is going to bring it to us.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Paul Stone, thank you so much, sir.
And it's not doom and gloom. I'm just trying to be honest and truthful and cause some thought-provoking actions in the listeners' minds. Think
yeah,
for themselves.
Absolutely.
They
yeah,
can do
I
this.
Agree.
They can handle this.
You know, a lot of it sounds like doom and gloom, but it's actually not. It's just telling people to get ready. I mean, we should get ready for anything, right? I mean, we don't know when the next storm, earthquake, natural disaster, let alone World War III, is going to come. But we should just be prepared for whatever the future holds.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Stone, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Talk to you soon.
Yep, absolutely.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. Okay, everybody. I want to talk a little bit more again about DEI, and as well as what's happening with the government state media. Let me play this other clip that I have for you about the DEI losing their everlasting minds. Here's a clip on Fox News where they're actually talking about DEI died November 5th. Do you agree? Now, I am looking in the comments. I see people in there chatting. One person said that they were trolling. Sherry says she was trolling Jack Smith on X. But I want to share something about X as well here in just a second. But listen to this. And also, please bless me by hitting that thumbs up.
American companies and lawmakers already rolling back DEI initiatives in response to Trump's election victory. Did DEI die on November 5th?
I think it certainly did. And you're already seeing some of the consequences of this in the private sector, where several companies are sort of rolling out these plans to roll back their own DEI initiatives that they've set in place over the past few years. But of course, I think it's going to be much more difficult to tackle DEI at the root than these companies and even some Republicans may expect. And that's because this is a big money-making racket, Todd. One Harvard professor estimates that U.S. companies spend about $8 billion per year on diversity trainings alone. That does not include the very profitable DEI consultants who can charge up to six figures for their work when they go into some of these corporations. And then, of course, there's the other issue, which is that even if you get rid of DEI initiatives in some of these private companies, and even at the federal government level, you still have not tackled the root of the issue, which is higher education. These ideas did not come from nowhere. They need to be torn out root and branch from our colleges and our universities, which, by the way, are also funded by our taxpayer dollars.
So, of course, all of this DEI needs to go away. They're using them in schools. They're using them in Walmart, using it in Target, using it in all these facilities. And we just got another one right before we came on. Because, you know, I was been prepping to talk about this whole DEI nonsense. Can I get a show of hands how many happy DEI is about to die completely? Show of hands. I'm going to put both of mine up. If I had some more, I'll put them up too. Put me a hand in the chat or a thumbs up. Either way, whichever one's easier, hand or thumbs up. Because DEI was on the verge of destroying this country. As I mentioned before, Kamala Harris, she was a DEI hire. You've all heard that. 100%. If I'm going to the doctor's office and I have to have surgery for something, I don't want a doctor to do surgery on me because he's there or she's there because of DEI. Same thing when I'm getting on an airplane. Do you want to get on an airplane and you just happen to find out the pilot is in the cockpit because of DEI and he is only there because he's a person of color and he has on a dress? Do you want that or do you want someone who's qualified? In most cases, we don't even need to see the pilot or the co-pilot. Long as they have the experience, That's all that I'm concerned about. Can you take the plane up? Can you keep it in the air? And can you land it safely? That's our concern. I'm not concerned about if the captain has on a dress. Same thing with DEI when it comes to schools. The whole DEI, right along with CRT, they're pushing this crap onto our children, trying to be inclusive. And the inclusivity that they're trying to push onto the society is all LGBT crap. See, it's not about allowing someone black to get in a job, right? It's not about that. If you're black, for example, like Will Johnson, when I did IT, guess how I got into IT? No one gave me a job because of DEI. I got into IT because I applied myself. Why do you think I'm here on LFA? Do you think for 1 second that Jeremy brought Will Johnson here because of DEI? And we know for 100%, I can tell you firsthand, Jeremy is 100% against DEI. Eli is against DEI, 100%. None of them are about DEI because I don't have a handicap. I don't have a handicap. Again, I come on here because I am 100% about the movement, our country, you, the LFA family. See, to me, that's what's important. Now, if I started the show and I just had to throw this whole LGBT stuff in your face and say that you need to be inclusive, you wouldn't watch me. I don't think that you would. And that's not my forte. I don't want to push that onto anybody. But listen to this. Things are actually changing. And all of this happened because President Trump won the election. And they're angry about it. Who do you think they're blaming for it? They're blaming people like me. They're blaming people like you. And thank you so much for putting up the hands and the thumbs up.
Conservatives fighting back against corporate DEI may have scored their biggest victory yet. Walmart, the nation's largest private employer, just announced it is rolling back its diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. Amid outcries over so-called corporate wokeism and claims that DEI is more divisive than inclusive. Walmart says it's ending racial equity training programs for staff, evaluating programs designed to increase supplier diversity, reviewing funding of pride events, and removing sexual or transgender products marketed to children. Now, Walmart defends the move, saying, quote, "We have been on a journey and know we aren't perfect, but every decision comes from a place of wanting to foster a sense of belonging." Other companies making similar moves. They include Harley Davidson, Tractor Supply, and John Deere.
Let's go. Makes me want to do the Trump dance. When you get the music, Shannon, so I can do the Trump dance. I'm so happy about that. Because none of that wokeism had anything to do with anything. It was actually creating more division. It was actually creating more problems in the country. We were talking about DEI constantly, and that shouldn't even be a discussion. You know, if we have any trolls on here, let me let you in on something. This is the year 2024. We do know what a man is. We do know what a woman is. We understand that there's only two genders, male and female, in the year 2024. We've already caught up with the science. Liberals have a hard time and they want to change the science. You know, the liberals, they're constantly saying, trust the science, trust the science. Well, they only say trust the science when they're going to put poison in your body to kill you. Then they tell you to trust it. It's like drinking the Kool-Aid. Oh, but we're in the cult. We're the cult members here, right? We're the cult members when they're the ones talking about trust the science and drinking the Kool-Aid. Make that make sense. You know, I throw that back in their face all the time. It's all you MAGA cult members. Really, we're in the cult, but you're the one pushing the vaccine Kool-Aid. You're the one pushing and telling everyone they have to drink the vaccine Kool-Aid. Well, listen to this one. This was at a university, and they're talking about DEI and how DEI is getting replaced. I like this one. It's like they come up with this new idea to replace DEI. What do you think they could be talking about? What do you think they were talking about? It's, what is it called? MEI? They're replacing DEI with MEI. What do you think that is? Watch this.
As for admissions, UATX swaps DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, for what some call MEI, merit, excellence, and intelligence.
Gender, race, ethnicity, what is the factor of that in your admissions decisions?
We don't take any of that into consideration in admissions. The primary thing that we're interested in is the mind.
Meaning what?
The kind of capacity to think deeply, to answer questions, to challenge norms.
Wait. I mean, the very fact that he goes, meaning what? Did y'all pick up on that? Did you pick up on that, Shannon? Meaning what? Like, you're actually asking people to think? You're actually asking people to be innovative? You're actually asking people to, you know, judge people, basically, based on their merits, on what they're doing? You're actually asking, like, this is like an epiphany.
I mean, this is what it should be all about.
I mean, this is an epiphany, Shannon, that someone's actually going to be able to get a job and get a position because they study for the job, because they can do the job. What is going on here?
I mean, it's about competition, right? I mean,
yes.
And you work hard to get what you want. That's all it is.
I mean, right. And you know, DEI, you know what it actually means, Shannon?
Uh-oh. I'm sure you have a funny.
What do you think? What do they tell us it means?
Diversity, equity, inclusion.
Yeah, that's what they tell us it means. But actually it means didn't earn it.
That is very true.
Didn't earn it.
And you know what? It's funny because, you know, they talk about, you know, Kamala Harris, you know, she was a lawyer, you know, when they talk about she wasn't a DEI hire for president or for vice president. And I'm like, just because you have a diploma doesn't mean you could do the job. Doesn't mean you're the best person for the job. You can still settle for somebody that might have done it, but there may be way better candidates that could do a better job. That's why we're in the predicament we are right now in the United States government. We literally have people that, you know, might be able to do the job, but they are not the best people to do the job that we need to lead America. And that's why we've fallen short in so many ways now. That's why you know all these DEI hires, look at the military's a mess.
Oh my goodness, yep, DEI and the military.
Look at our press secretary. She has to have to bind her every time she talks. And literally, she has memorized the same thing over and over and over.
Jesse Water calls her binder.
Yeah.
I love it. Jesse Water calls her binder. And let me just ask y'all a question really quick. Are y'all happy that y'all have not heard from Cackles, the DEI VP? Are you happy about it? I'm really ecstatic about it. And every day I'm like, you know, this just goes to show how fake she was or how fake she is. All of a sudden, she loses, I mean, beautifully. I was going to say horribly, but no, she lost beautifully. It's such a beautiful thing to see her lose. And I'm still jumping up and down with joy, actual joy that she lost. Communism lost. DEI lost. And now that we don't have to hear that cackling, you notice that even here on LFA, even on the government state media, especially the government state media, none of them have been showing anything of Cackles. Cackles is like never, almost to the point never even existed. Cackles is gone. And it's really good. I really like it. And it's like, it's like a brighter day because we don't have to deal with the cackling. Can y'all tell I'm excited about it? Can you tell just a little bit, maybe? I'm so happy that Cackles is gone. Well, let me change it up just a little bit here because I can talk about DEI until I turn blacker than I am. So the Communist News Network, along with the MSDNC, the entire Alphabet Network Soup Group, they're upset with Elon Musk allowing free speech to take place. We're currently live on X as well. And they're upset about it. And now think about it. You can go on True Social and you can say what you want to say. You can go on Getter and you can even post videos on Rumble. And you can say what you want to say. Free speech is allowed. But one place that the Democrats believe that free speech should not be allowed, other than they don't believe they should be allowed on other ones, but especially on X. And the reason being because they have a following on X. And many of them, they don't want to leave X. They want to stay there on X and they want to fight you and I, the Republicans, like Sherry was saying that she was trolling Jack Smith. Every time I go on there and I throw the race card back in their face, right? I play the race card, but I throw it in their face because I'm so sick of it. And the only way you can fight fire is with fire. Well, listen to this. This was on the Communist News Network, and they're talking about social media because of X with Elon Musk. Places like platforms like CNN, MSDNC, they're struggling to stay alive. And their biggest thing right now is that they want X to go away so people would just go to them and listen to their rhetoric.
Platforms are not regulated right now, which gives them carte blanche, whatever they want right now. Elon is not someone who likes to be regulated. And so to buy MSN, he would go under some federal regulation.
Who's regulating CNN right now?
The FCC.
We're not a broadcast. It's cable. I mean, I don't really think cable stations are under the same regulatory structure that broadcast is.
It's definitely regulated more than Facebook and
there's
Twitter.
Still, what she's saying is that there's still a litmus test of journalism that you have to pass. You can't come on TV and platforms. Just make up things and say things. That happens on X. Please don't give me the eyebrow furrow.
Oh my goodness. She says, please don't give me the eyebrow. Don't give me the eyebrow. You know why she's saying that? Because on CNN, they do nothing but lie. They do absolutely nothing but lie on CNN. Same thing with MSDNC. And Scott Jennings is there like, y'all lie all the time on CNN. And that's why she's like, don't give me that eyebrow. Don't give me that eyebrow. And he don't even have to say nothing because they know. Their whole thing on the Communist News Network, MSDNC, all of them, their whole thing is throughout the entire year. And I've been looking at this for many years now. Throughout the entire year, they will go on national television and they will lie, 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 lie. And at the end of the year, they all have this award ceremony and they give each other awards, pat each other on the back for the best liar, the most convincing lie told throughout the year. Oh, you get the best one here because you came up with this one. It was so convincing. That's all that they do is lie.
Don't know what I'm talking about. It happens often on X. I can go and say the color is blue and I will be met with so many disrespectful remarks. No one's regulating the N-word. No one's regulating the criticism. No one is regulating how people are treated.
How much government regulation of the First Amendment are you for?
Yes. How much government regulation of the First Amendment are you for? I mean, see, this is why I like Scott Jennings. This is why I like him, because he has so much common sense. And it's like these people can't figure it out. And this is part of the reason why they lost, because they want to hinder people from saying whatever. Did you know? And I've seen it quite often. Did you know you can't go on X and say the N-word if you so choose to? You can. It happens all the time. And guess what? If you're white, I think you have every right to say it.
Well, and you know what?
Why do I say that, though?
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that if you're white, you have every right to say the N-word? Why do I say that?
You have free speech as well.
Because you have free speech, right? Even if Will Johnson doesn't like it. Why is that so difficult to understand?
Well, you.
I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Why is it? It's so elementary. And see, yeah. I'm sitting there thinking about it like this, like, oh, my goodness, it's just free speech. And it's just words. If I don't like them, you should still be able to say them. Right? Why is it so difficult for them?
Yeah, and CNN and Twitter or X are two completely different platforms. Of course, you know, she can go on X, and because it has diverse thoughts and opinions, of course people are going to, you know, counter what you say. The thing is, though, is both ideas are welcome. The problem with the left is, though, when they say, oh, I don't feel safe, it's because they don't feel safe if you think different. If you say, I voted for Trump, they automatically go, well, this is, how dare you? I feel so threatened. I mean, come on now. It's so idiotic.
Yeah.
You know, and on CNN, first of all, they didn't even know that the FCC didn't control them, which is really funny. I mean, she kind of questioned herself when she said it, right? Which all goes to show these people don't know facts when they're talking, right? But then literally, you know, they're like, well, we have the higher moral ground here at CNN is basically what they're saying, right? We have a higher moral ground because, you know, the way we treat each other. And Scott Jennings was like, have you heard what they've said to me? Have you heard the conversations we've had on here? Of course, they're not cussing. You know what I mean? But they have a different issue. When you think that you're, when you only give one thought process and you get mad at anybody that's different and challenged, just like Scott Jennings, they yell over him all the time.
Because he's saying common sense,
and they don't
things.
Really like what he says. I bet some
how
of those
do you
people
not like it
girl,
when he's saying common sense
this,
things?
This girl Kari Champion, whatever her name is, I bet if she if it was her way, he wouldn't be sitting across the way from her. Literally, I bet she feels threatened by him. I bet she's nervous when
why
sits
you think,
at that table.
Why do you think she feels threatened by
because
him?
Because he has a different thought process than her.
And what else? Come on, be real.
Oh, well, I didn't even think about that.
Be
because
real.
He's white. Oh, you're such a victim, Will.
I'm telling you.
I literally wasn't thinking of that. I was just
I study these people.
Process.
I pay attention to this crap all the time because that's part of the reason. Is this the one or is it the next one? Which one is it where she's complaining, talking about she's not safe?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
I think it's the next one. Yeah.
Is it this one? Let me just go to that I because think so. that see, these people, oh my goodness, I'm not safe on X. And I'm sitting there listening to her saying that she's not safe on X, and I'm wondering, like, why is she not safe on X?
Well, you know what? I read some of the things that people say to you, and they're cruel to you. They act like it's only Republicans being
cruel. Oh, my goodness.
Cruel.
Y'all should see. You know
the
what?
Democrats
y'all should see
equal,
some of the stuff that they send
evil.
Me. Y'all should
they
see.
They say, you better be careful. I'm going to come after you. They post terrible things about your family. I mean, just horrible.
People
horrible.
Say stuff about Will Johnson. More than just calling me a sellout, calling
me... I don't
know
how you do it, honestly.
I mean, just some of the most despicable things they say about me. And...
Well, you kind
of... And you know what? And you know why they say these despicable things about me?
Because you don't think like that?
Because I tell white people, speak up.
Yeah.
Say what's on your mind. If you say something that I don't like...
Say that.
I will support you.
I really don't suggest people say that.
But no, it's just the point of it, right? And a lot of people get it.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech is people saying stuff that you don't like. That's their freedom. That's their freedom. And these idiot liberals, they go, well, that only applies to the federal government.
They actually think that's
well, who
a
makes
threat.
Up the federal government? You know what? Yeah. When I first heard a liberal tell me that the first time, saying that freedom of speech, you know, hindering someone's freedom of speech, that only applies to the federal government. The first time I heard that, and I was like young into doing video podcasting and everything. I was just on my phone. And this white female liberal in Berkeley told me that. And at the time, I didn't know how to respond to it until later on. I thought about it. She said it only applies for the government because the government cannot hinder free speech. Well, let me ask y'all a question. Who makes up the government? Who makes up the government? We the people. So when they come out with that nonsense, that's just them trying to deflect. Freedom of speech applies to everybody. You all have freedom of speech. Just because you're on CNN, I'm like, well, you can't say that. Now, if your employer put rules inside of your company, that's one thing. Inside the company, like, we're not going to come in here and just, you know, start cursing at everybody and saying the N-word. That's one thing. But like Shannon just mentioned, on social media, that's completely different. Social media, you can block the person. Your coworker, you can't necessarily block them. Liberals will try to get you fired, but you can't block them.
And I always think people are more cordial and kind in person than they are on.
Oh, they are. When they get behind that keyboard, they're completely different animals. Let me play this video. This is the one. I hope this is the one where they're talking about that she feels, you know, not safe on X.
Also, I heard what you're saying about X. I saw a survey this week.
That's not it, is it? No, that's not the one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm not.
X, and you said in some ways, always. I feel like X, I don't know if anyone is on it in any capacity. I don't know if you're on it. You're the only one? You're on it? You all are on it? Okay.
Everybody's on it. Now listen to the reason why she's not on it. Everybody's on it.
I've actually decided to take a rest of peace because it is not a peaceful place
for me. And I know if, in fact, you don't agree with this current administration, most people can say that it's not a peaceful place. I would not.
And why is it not a peaceful place?
So does she think when Biden is in office, that's a peaceful place for Republicans? Does she think that Facebook has been a safe place for us? I mean,
why is it not a peaceful place?
They only care about how they feel.
Because she's sitting behind the keyboard.
Their life is so
one-sided. She's sitting behind the keyboard or on her phone. If she doesn't like something she sees, she can block the person.
Yeah, I mean, true.
How are you not safe?
Well,
I mean, am I missing something?
It's in their mind.
It is absolutely in their mind. These people are crazy. But you know what? You know what's really nice? Thanksgiving's getting ready to come up, everybody. And I'm going to give you a reason to go to CozyEarth.com. I got a beautiful reason for you. Go to CozyEarth.com/LFA. Because you want to wrap your loved ones in luxury this Christmas. Transfer your home into a sanctuary with Cozy Earth this holiday season. Experience unparalleled comfort from the bamboo sheet set. With the versatile Cityscape collection, Cozy Earth is committed to quality and reasonable production, ensuring each product offers superior softness and durability with a 10-year warranty. The bamboo sheet set gift is the ultimate luxury from the bamboo sheet set. It's perfect for those who cherish the serenity escape every night. These sheets offer temperature regulation, helping you to keep cool and comfortable for a restful sleep. The Cityscape collection set is cozy wherever the holidays take you. With the Cityscape sweats as well. Designed for both comfort and style, the Cityscape hoodie is your perfect companion for the holiday travel or chilling at home. Visit CozyEarth.com/LFA and use the exclusive promo code LFA to get 40% off the luxury gift this holiday season. CozyEarth.com/LFA. Go check it out, everybody. Who doesn't love a soft blanket? I think you're muted over there.
Who doesn't like a soft blanket?
I mean, really, really. I know some people get the soft blanket and they're like Linus and some people do like a little sucky face. I love my blanket.
Ooh, some people are having some really cold weather already this week for Thanksgiving. Oh my goodness. Like here in Texas, we're actually going to be like, around 60 or just below 60 degrees. Now we're going to be like 59. That's cold here.
Yep, yep. You're going to be happy to eat that bird.
I'm all excited. I'm like, maybe I get to turn on my fireplace.
You know what I wish I could do? I wish I could do a show and just have a show with my liberal family members and we just have a conversation. Would y'all watch that?
They don't know.
Would y'all? No, let me know in the comments. Would y'all watch that if I were able to have my, you know, just not in this, my studio, just sitting around a table and we're just having discussion.
No one.
Thanksgiving discussion. Would y'all want to see that? Let me know in the comments.
Well,
not going to happen because my producer won't allow it, but I'm just kind of curious. Would y'all like to see it?
I'm not going to allow it. Your liberal family
you would have to work
will
set.
Not come sit at a table with you during Thanksgiving to talk about
people
politics.
Say, yeah, they would love to see that.
Of course they would.
I mean, come on.
I would not engage.
I mean, come that. On. How awesome would that be? That would be such an interesting show, right? It really would. I think it would be. I mean, you know, go back and forth. I would have to ask them to keep it PG-13 as much as possible.
You know that wouldn't happen.
Liberals, I mean, my goodness. Would you, just imagine if I can get a liberal to come on with me and just say all these nasty things about me. Would y'all like that? I can hold my own. I like the confrontation. I really do. Maybe I can find one to join me sometime. Anyways. All right, everybody, one more day till Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to go to lfatv.us. Support the network, lfatv.us.
It's a MyPillow 2.0. And your promo code is Will or
Unite One.
Unite One. It could be Will, too, you know.
Yeah.
Unite One. Use that promo code. You buy one of the MyPillow 2.0s, you get a second one absolutely free. And they say, well, Mike, how could you improve on the best pillow ever? The technology that this has in it, I didn't have 20 years ago. It's a temperature-regulated thread made here in the USA that I had made into the most amazing fabric ever. So you combine height, adjustable height, with temperature, and you get the best sleep in history. Just got even better.
Yes, for the best night's sleep ever, use promo code UNITES1 at MyPillow.com. Promo code UNITES1, the MyPillow 2.0, the Giza sheets, the slippers, and also up to 80% off MyPillow.com using promo code UNITES1.